May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. On September the 14th, in our church's liturgical calendar, it is the Feast of the Holy Cross. In the Gospel for that day, from the Gospel of St. John, Jesus says, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up, I will draw all people to myself." Jesus was not only talking about the way in which he would die, but also about the purpose of his death. See, crucifixion was a Roman punishment. And the law of Deuteronomy in chapter 21:23 makes it very clear that in Jewish law, anyone hanged or crucified is accursed of God. So that makes it impossible for Jesus to claim to be the Messiah for the Jews. And it also makes it impossible for the Jews to accept Jesus as the Messiah. Now, also to the Greeks, crucifixion was culturally offensive. And Paul makes this quite clear in his letter to the church in Corinth, where he proclaims Christ crucified as both a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. Yet here we have in the Gospel of St. John, Jesus claiming to draw the whole world. Not just some in the world, but the whole world to himself through his crucifixion. Now, crucifixion was not pretty. Criminals had to carry the cross piece of the arm from the jail to the place of execution. And the Roman way of execution was that that cross piece was then attached to the top of the vertical stake, giving the cross a T shape. The body was then secured with nails and rope. And then the cross was raised to stand. The crucifixion of Jesus, his death as a criminal, made him absolutely repugnant to both Jews and to Greeks. Yet it was through the crucifixion that God was making a new covenant with all of his children. All of his children. So the cross became a central symbol of Christianity. And as early as the second century, we read from Tertullian that people were being signed with the sign of the cross on their foreheads as a means of blessing. And the cross developed from the very simple T-shape into hundreds of forms that express a particular aspect of Christianity. Even here at St. John's, there are many examples. On the roof of the church is the Celtic cross. This one above the door is called the Christus Rex. Our two processional crosses, one is called simple, one is called ornate. The cross that hangs in Hosier Hall is Mexican. For the early Christians, it was the simple cross that was the symbol of their faith. And one of the reasons is that the cross could be used as a symbol for other things. And when you are living in a culture that will persecute you for being Christian, or even putting you to death for being Christian, sometimes it was good to have another reason why you had a cross. It's been thought that the simple cross and other crosses were used because Christianity is a faith of the resurrection, which it is. But you know something? Resurrection does not make much sense without understanding the death of Christ. Around the 12th century, it was the Franciscans that used a cross and put the body of Christ onto the cross. This image spread rapidly through Christendom as the theology of the Passion of Christ began to make much more sense of the resurrection of Christ. It was the Franciscans who began to rediscover how the crucifixion of Jesus broke through the barriers of culture to show how God chose this way of atonement and redemption for all of his children. Jews and Greeks, slaves and free, male and female. You know, we read the story and we all know that Jesus did not deserve to be crucified. We know that. But it was his agony, his humiliation, his innocence was the way that God chose to draw and to reconcile all his children back to God. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians that if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation, and all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. In the crucifixion, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins against them. And then the extension of that, Paul goes on to say that through the reconciliation of Christ, we have been given that ministry of reconciliation. You see, it was the crucifixion of Christ was the way that God created a common community for a world that is incredibly divided and a world that is incredibly alienated. And we call that community the church. It was the resurrection of Christ that made sense of his passion. And it was the resurrection of Christ that fulfilled what God intended through the crucifixion of Jesus. And then we get to the time in church history called the Reformation. All symbols were discouraged in those churches who were Protestant to the Roman Catholic Church. Churches in England, and you can still see some of them on the wall, okay, they didn't get them all off, but churches in England had beautiful paintings on the wall that were whitewashed. Any imagery, any statues, including the figure of Jesus on the cross, were removed so that there was no temptation of idolatry. But idolatry was not the purpose of the Franciscans. The meaning of the crucifixion, as affirmed by the resurrection, was the intention of showing Jesus on the cross. And that is still the intention today. You see, it was on the cross. On the cross. That Jesus brought into focus by what he said from the cross. His gospel. Father, forgive them. Words of forgiveness that Jesus says to us every single day of our lives. And words that Jesus asks us to say to one another every day of our lives. Woman, behold thy son. Jesus from the cross, asking for compassion on someone who would now not be able to take care of herself. That call for compassion from the cross is the same call Jesus makes to every single one of us. I thirst. Jesus said, whoever gives a cup of water, just a cup of water, to the least of these, gives it to me. Why hast thou forsaken me? I don't think there's not one of us here today who has not at some time felt forsaken by God. But we know that God was with Christ and that God is with us. Today you will be with me in paradise. Those are the words all of us want to hear, because that's our faith. It is finished. You know, when people ask me my favorite Bible verse, I always think of the words, and it came to pass. And the reason I think of that is because no matter how bad it gets, one day it will be finished. It will be over and we will be through it. Into thy hands. Is that not what God wants every day? For us to put ourselves into his hands, so that in his hands we can live the life he wants us to live. You know, there were millions of people crucified by the Romans. Millions. But what the Franciscans said was, look, it was not just anybody that was crucified. It was Jesus of Nazareth, the Savior of the world, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Messiah, the Christ. And so in the Garden of St. John's, we now have a crucifix that gazes on all who pass St. John's. The cross with the crucified body of Jesus is the message of hope. It is not the message of fear. It is the message of forgiveness. It is not the message of judgment. And it is the message of welcome. It is not the message of rejection. The crucifixion revealed life through death. Light through darkness. Power through weakness. The foolishness of God being much wiser than people. That's the reality that God was introducing 2,000 years ago with a man on a cross called Jesus of Nazareth. And that reality is still the same today. Because I do not see us living in a world that has allowed itself to be drawn to Christ, to be reconciled with God. I'd like to finish this morning with one of the most profound prayers in our Book of Common Prayer. It's said every day in daily morning prayer. And it reads, Lord Jesus Christ, you stretched out your arms of love on the hard wood of the cross that everyone might come within the reach of your saving embrace. So clothe us in your spirit that we, reaching forth our hands in love, may bring those who do not know you to the knowledge and love of you for the honor of your name. Amen.